First, we take to heart, and there are so many v'achenu b'nei Yisrael whose lives have been cut short defending Arzenu HaKadosha, and we learn and we eat, so to speak, l'zecha nishmasam. The Parsha Emor, of course, is a chalk-filled Parsha, Kedushas Kahuna in the beginning of the Parsha, and the Parsha's Hamoadim as the Parsha continues. And of all the Moadim to pick from, I thought it made most sense to pick and speak about Sfiras Omer, since, of course, that's the moed, so to speak, that we're currently involved in. This is from Parak Chav Gimel, Psukim Tezvav and Tezayin. There's a parallel Parsha in Dvarim, in Parshas Re'eh, which there is some lumdus that discusses the relationship between the two Parshas, although we will not really discuss that tonight. But just to review the two Psukim, which are the anchor of our shir tonight, the Pasuk begins with Sfartim Lechem Mimachras HaShabbas, which, of course, again, there's so much to talk about. Such a wonderful sugya, Sfiras Omer. So much we're not going to even remotely get to. One of which is, of course, the famous machlokes about why we know that Shabbos refers to the second day of Pesach as opposed to Sunday. Meyom haviyachem es Omer hatunufa, when they brought that special carbon haOmer in the Beis Hamikdash. You count from that moment Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos Tiana 7 complete weeks. Ad mimacharas haShabbos haShviyos. Tisperu Chamishim Yom, you'll then count 7 weeks, and then the next day, which of course is the 50th day, at that point, V'hikravtem Mincha Chadash Al Hashem, it'll be Shavuos, and then you bring a Karban Mincha. So from the Karban Arba, Omer on Pesach, to the Karban Omer, Mincha, excuse me, on Shavuos, these are the two anchors, the two brackets, and it's the 49 days that are, so to speak, in the middle. That is what we of course know as the Sfiras HaOmer. I wanted to break the shir up tonight into three parts. The first part is really the largest part, and then two small parts. Each one could have been much longer, but just to give you a little ha'aris from those. The bigger chunk that I want to speak about is to analyze and discuss, perhaps from a fresh perspective, the famous shita of the Bahag. So before we get into the details and then analyzing it, et cetera, let's start with a little bit of a background, which sometimes is missed, and I just think it provides a good context. The Mishnah in Menachos on Daf Ayin Aleph says that there is a mitzvah to be kotzer the omer, that particular crop which is used for the carbon omer, at night. But it's kosher if you even do it during the day. There's a parallel Mishnah in Maseches Megillah on Daf Chaf that says also you're supposed to do it at night, but there it sounds like it's even b'diavad, that if you don't do the omer at night, it's not kosher for the carbon. So l'chora, this is an apparent stiras hamishnayos. And the Gemara itself is aware of that potential stira, and the Gemara Menachem Daf Ayin Beis asks the question. The Gemara actually responds, in Hachanami, these two Mishnayos are in conflict. It's a machlokas Tanaim. Two different approaches in Tanaim, whether you absolutely must be kotzer the Omer at night, or is it just a lechachila. How do we paskin? So here, and this is the context, this is where the famous Bahag comes in, and it's ironic because he's become, throughout the generations, as a machmir opinion. But originally, in context, you'll see momentarily, it was actually a kula, so to speak. So the Tosfos here quotes two opinions, the Bahag and Rabbeinu Tam. The Bahag is lenient. The Bahag paskins like the Mishnah and Menachos. The Bidyevit, if your coat's there during the day, it's okay. Rabbeinu Tam seems to paskin like the Mishnah in Megillah, the Bidyevit, even it would have to be at night. Many poskim discuss this. Rav Avadya has a tshuva and Yabi Omer discussing this back and forth. And the specific issue whether the carbon has to be brought at kotzer at night or in the day is not really our issue. But again, it provides a context. The relationship between the actual Omer and the mitzvah of Sfira is actually not only an interesting question, but it's more relevant than one might appear at first blush, because a topic which we're not discussing, but at the heart of the question of whether Sfiras Omer is Daraisa or Darabanan Bazman Hazeh is that very question. The Pashtus and the Psukim and the Mishnayos is that, of course, there's a direct connection between the carbon and the counting. So if there's no carbon, there should be no mitzvah to count. And if we're counting, it must be only Mitzvah Rabbanan. The fact that the Rambam holds that Sfiras Omer, even with Bazman Hazeh, is Daraisa, the Chaorah is a Pella. And again, there's been much later Rishonim and certainly Achronish HaTorah spilled on how to understand this Rambam and how to, so to speak, somehow sever the ties between the carbon and the Sfira. So that's an interesting topic in its own right. But that's just for now, for us, that's a background. The real question and the real point of fascinating departure is that in different Tosafot the Bahag is formulated in different ways. And not only, I'm going to just give you two of the versions, the two primary ones in Tosafot, but if you look in the Rav Yah, you get a third. Tur quotes it also, and in modern times, they published a critical edition of the Sefer Baal Halachos Gedolos itself, and there you have almost another version of the Bahag. But the two most well-known ones, the ones which are important, because this is what the Shulchan Aruch and others were working off of, are Tosafot both in Menachos and in Megillah. The Tosafot in Menachos quotes the Bahag as saying the following more relevant thing to us. We're all familiar with the question of what happens if you forget to count. So there's two, it's a slightly complicated, but I'll try to be as clear as I can. There are two intersecting or overlapping issues. Number one is the question of how much do you differentiate between counting and counting with a bracha? And the second question is, can you count during the day? Are you yotzei or not during the day? Or must you only count at night? So the way the Bahag is quoted in Maseches Menachos, two assumptions. Number one is it sounds like from the Bahag in Menachos that there is no distinction between the counting and the bracha. You would count with a bracha. Perhaps, and according to some versions in Rishonim, there was a minog that the Nusach HaBracha included the counting. Shek Shem Sosvanu, Al Sfiras, whatever the days of the Omer. And there was one thing. And perhaps that's what the Bahag was assuming. Because in Menachos, the Bahag never distinguishes between counting with a bracha or the idea of counting without a bracha. He just says you have to count, and if you didn't count at night, what does he say in terms of the day? It sounds like from him you can't count, period. It's all or nothing. Now that's a big chumrah, and that's more machmir even than what we're familiar with. The version of the Bahag, which we're most familiar with, actually comes from Tosafot in Megillah. And here, it's where he seems to be mashma, that you're supposed to count at night, but if you didn't count at night, since Lashitoso, he holds that B'dyeved, the Ksiras HaOmer, could even have been during the day. Nevertheless, he says, therefore, you could count during the day, but there he adds, below bracha. Then he adds, and here's where we have the famous chumrah, and if you didn't count a whole 24-hour period, shuv, you can no longer count with a bracha. Again, as opposed to the earlier Tosafot, where Bahag is quoted as saying, shuv, you can't count at all. The one in Megillah is slightly more modified. The Bahag says, in theory, you can distinguish in the bracha and the counting, and therefore, if you miss it completely, you no longer count with a bracha, but you can at least count.
Do all of these hold that each day is not a separate bracha?
That's separate bracha?
A separate mitzvah.
So that's the lumdus which we're getting to. We're getting to that, Joey. So the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Taf Pei Tes, Seifim Zayin Through Ches, essentially paskins like this Tosafot version of Megillah of the Bahag. Again, we're all familiar with this. You're supposed to count at night with a bracha. If you forget, you count during the next day without a bracha. And if unfortunately you miss a whole 24 hours, you can still count, but you cannot count with a bracha. Now the question, the first little technical question I just want to mention briefly is, what is the Shulchan Aruch holding? Is the Shulchan Aruch really passing like the Bahag? The Bahag is a minority opinion among Rishonim. The tshuva that I previously mentioned of Rav Avadji Yosef and Yabia Omer, he gives you a litany of Rishonim who actually reject this Bahag. So the Shulchan Aruch nevertheless seems to paskin like him. Or does he? What is the Shulchan Aruch doing by quoting this? So it's interesting. There is an earlier 20th century, a relatively recent sefer called the Sha'ar Mitzuyana Bahalacha, which was out of print for a while and then has recently been reprinted. It was written as an addition or addendum to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is Kishmo Kenu, the most kitzur of all of our probably contemporary sefer halacha. So he gave a little bit of a tom to it. He wrote notes on the bottom, which were largely based on, in his day already, contemporary tshuvos. He also was a prolific writer. He wrote on Masechtos and Shas, Ha'aris, but perhaps his most well-known sefer is the Sha'ar Mitzuyana Bahalacha. When people quote that stam, they mean the one on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So there the Sha'ar Mitzuyana Bahalacha has a tremendous chiddush. He says he thinks that the Shulchan Aruch only meant this as a chumra ba'alma. Why? Because, after all, what's the big deal? You can just count the next day without a bracha. In other words, you don't really lose anything by giving people such a tremendous, you know, it's like a musr shmuz to make sure that they remember to count at night. So that'll give them a certain urgency. But what's the big deal? They didn't lose anything. So then they'll count the next day with a bracha, and then without a bracha. But then they'll be back by day two or three. They'll go back. What's the big deal? And therefore, he says, because of this is how he understands the Shulchan Aruch, he says, therefore, since he observes in his day, and I think it's for sure true in our day as well, psychologically, people associate the mitzvah with the bracha. And if they're not saying the bracha anymore, they don't think they're doing the mitzvah. And it's without a doubt true that somebody who misses one day is at incredibly high risk to miss many, many more days after that. Because the sense of urgency is gone. There's no basis in halacha for such a mentality, but we're human beings. And therefore, says Rav Braun, or Shlomo Zalman Braun was his name, therefore he holds la halacha bizmanenu. It's not true that even the Shulchan Aruch would be moda if you forget to count at night, count in the morning with a bracha. Because he's really essentially not holding like the Bahag. He just mentioned it as a chumrah. But now that that's chumrah, maybe lidei kula, so scrap the whole chumrah and go with Mikra Adin, which is Rav Rishonim, say you can count during the day with a bracha. Now, that's an interesting chiddush. It's an important, interesting maramakum for you. That's not the way most poskim understand the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, as well as many others, also Rav Avadja quote, seem to hold, no, that the Shulchan Aruch was poskening at least l'chumrah. I mean, maybe he meant it as a chumrah, but he meant it, not like stam, as a nice Musar Shmuz. And therefore, we do have the practice that if one misses a full 24 hours, one would not subsequently count with a bracha. It is worth noting one other thing. You know, there's a famous story they tell over about the Beis Halevi that they said, you're such a machmir rabbi. So he gave, what was it, seven? What's the story? How does the story go? I guess I'll give you all sorts of kulas. You know, one is he had broad definitions of what you could learn. On Tisha B'Av, for example, he had certain kulas, quote unquote. So one of the kulas is his shita. This is in Shuvas Beis Halevi, Chelek Al of Simon Lamates. Beis Halevi held, again, another part of the sugi which we're not really getting into, which is the relationship between counting days and counting weeks. And he held that even if you missed one of these days, if on the day of that, the 7-14-21, on the magical seventh day of the full completion of that week, if you counted with weeks, you were then re-engaged. You could go back again. That was the famous kula, quote-unquote, the Beis Halevi, that if you skip a day in the middle of a week, you can count with a bracha at the end of every week, because that's a separate mitzvah when you're counting weeks.
But just once a week you
could do. Right, yes, with the bracha. I believe that's right. Yeah. Now, again, I don't know, maybe pure briskers really do this. I don't know anyone else who does. But it's worth noting that there's another shita, so to speak, out there. So now let's get to the heart of the matter, which is the issue that Joey raised. And the way I want to do that is by asking two questions on the Bahag. One is the question of the Prima Godim. The Prima Godim asks on the Bahag, why do we make a bracha every night? What's the implication of the Prima Godim? If you assume that the Bahag, if you understand the Bahag is assuming that if you miss one day, it must mean that the whole thing is one mitzvah. But if the whole thing is one mitzvah, then you should only make either the first day or the last day. I don't know. We'll figure that out another time. But not 49. That's the Prima Godim's question. Second question, L'cha'ora, is as follows. This many Achronim ask. Mamanoshach, if there's no mitzvah during the day, then why does counting without a bracha help me? And if there is a mitzvah during the day, why not count with a bracha? So some achronim in Shulchan Aruch answer by saying, well, it's a sfek sveka. Sufek, we can't count during the day. Sufek, you can. And even if you'll say you can't, sufek, we reject the Bahag entirely. And who cares if you miss 10 days? No day has any connection to any subsequent day. So that is fine in theory, but it doesn't work for the Bahag himself. If you look at the way the Bahag is quoted in Tosfos and Megillah, the Bahag himself has this very, again, now, that's why I told you there's a lot of versions of the Bahag. So not every version of Bahag is that final nekuda there. But at least in Tosfos and Megillah, which seems to be the primary mocker of Shulchan Aruch, Tosfos and Megillah, the Bahag himself is quoted as having this compromise. So you can't say that it's a sfek sveka. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, it would be bizarre to say such a thing. So those are two outstanding questions for the Bahag. So in order to answer these questions, we will do well, and again, I'll take you on a tour of really a very, very beautiful shir of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. And this is actually quoted in a number of two primary places, really three places. Probably the most comprehensive places in the third volume of the Masorah Torah Journal. Rav Schechter has this in Eretz HaTzvi in Siman Gimel, which is his Birchas HaMitzvah Sugya, pages 17 through 18. And then subsequently, I was privileged not only to hear Shir from Rabbi Willig, but then to edit the article and the journal which it got published in, which was the Kol Elyon Torah Journal called Kol Tzvi, the second volume, where Rabbi Willig gave a Shir also on Sfiras Omer. It was the Yortzeit Shir for Mr. Wexner, who the Kol HaOyin was named after, and he gave a shiur, it was this time of year, about Tamimos, and all three of these secondary sources have this very, very, very beautiful Torah I'll share with you momentarily from the Rav. And what is so fascinating also is that Rabbi Willig, I don't know anyone else who dug up, made this connection, but Rabbi Willig dug up that in fact, in 40 years ago, in Tavshin Chavhei, 42 years ago, whatever it is now, 43 years ago, whatever it is, no, 40 years ago, exactly, 40 years ago, I think it was, Rav Zevin Zatzal, in an article in the journal Shana B'Shana, which is a journal that's put out by the seat of the chief rabbinate, comes out every year, it has all the Zmanim from the chief rabbinate, and then it has Torah articles in the back. So Rav Zevin Zatzal put out an article also on Tmimus, which I don't have any access to the Shana B'Shana, but on a lark, today I looked in, there's a Sefer of Zevin, published a Sefer of essays on Halacha called Le'or HaHalacha. A lot of this very famous stuff about Shemitah is there, very, very beautiful Sefer. And they, a few years ago, put out a new expanded version of Le'or HaHalacha. In fact, I bought it, I believe, at Chopsy's last year. And not only is it new print and new cover, but they included a number of other articles which were not in the original Le'or HaHalacha, i.e. they grabbed things from here and there that were in journals. And sure enough, this article, Tavshin Chavhei in the Shana B'Shana, is now included in Le'or HaHalacha. So just for easy access, I think on the Mar Makom sheet, I put it down for you, Le'or HaHalacha. It was originally published in the Shana B'Shana. And virtually, the Rav has a little bit more, but it's the exact same Chiddush, sounds like almost word for word, with a number of the same rays. Very, very beautiful Torah. The Torah is as follows. We have this Bahag Shita that says, if you miss a day, that's it, Shuv Lo Yispor B'Bracha. The question is, what is the Bahag learning? So there really seems to be two perspectives. The Pashtus is what we've been assuming until now, is that the Bahag assumes that it's all one big mitzvah. Or in other words, the Bahag's machlokas with the other Rishonim is it one big mitzvah, or is it 49 mitzvahs? So not only is this the Pashtus of the Bahag, as we mentioned a few moments ago, this clearly is what the Prima Gadim is assuming when he asked that question. If you look in the Mishneh Berurah in a number of places, if you look carefully in this Siman Taf Beis test, you'll see the Mishneh Berurah has a line here, a phrase there, a throwaway line there, where he's clearly assuming that as well. If you look in, forget the Zachronim, if you go back to the Ri, who's arguing a Bar Plukta on the Bahag, but the Ri, as he's quoted by the Rosh in Arvei Psachim, the Ri also seems to be assuming, as he argues on the Bahag, that that was what the Bahag was assuming. However, both Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Zevin suggested an alternative approach to the Bahag. That even the Bahag assumes that it's really 49 separate mitzvahs. So why does it matter if I miss day two? Why does it have any effect on what I do day three? It says very simply, counting, by definition, presupposes a continuum. There cannot be counting without continuity. In what meaningful sense was today day 19 if there was no day 18? 19 of what? Maybe today is day 1. Maybe we're starting today and we'll go. 19 numbers only build on the previous one. There is no meaningful context. Without a context, there's no meaning. And therefore, the Bahag understood that if you miss a full day, you can't count. That's the Pashtus of the Bahag. Now, how we're going to get back to the two questions we asked on the Bahag, I didn't answer those yet. But that's another perspective on the Bahag. Not that he holds it's one big mitzvah, but rather he holds that it's 49 separate mitzvahs. But he holds that you can't look at them as completely distinct. They may be disjunct, but they're not completely separate. They have a relationship, even if they are independent mitzvahs. So, Rav Soloveitchik, and again, much of this really is overlapped by Rav Zevin. It's very beautiful to see the Shnei Nevi'im, Snabdim, the Sigdon Echad. A number of rayas to develop this Chiddush approach. First of all, and again, the basic assumption that they both seem to have had is that this is such a powerful idea. So what about all the other Gaonim, Rishonim? They assumed that they all agreed in principle, but they argued with the following wrinkles. So for example, the tour quotes the opinion of Rav Sajigon, not the Bahag, but a contemporary, Rav Sajigon. He has the following shita. Rav Sajigon held, what if you're a real loser? You miss the first night. So Rav Sajigon says, that's it. If you miss the first night, you can't count again with the bracha. But the subsequent 48, well, I guess not the 49th, because there's nothing else to count. But the subsequent 47, if you missed any of them, again, it's not a good thing, but none of those will impact you counting the next day with a bracha. The only time we say you can no longer count with a bracha is if you missed day one. That's Rav Sadia Gaon's opinion. It's interesting, if you look in the Lashon of Shulchan Aruch, when he paskins, again, I mentioned to you just that he's holding like the Bahag. But the truth is, if you look at the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, you see that he's clearly coming to bavorn, to reject this Rav Sadia Gaon, because he even says, and if you miss any of the days completely, afilu yom rishon, and afilu shar yamim, because that is the way to say there's no difference if it's the first day or the rest of the days. We're machmir, if you miss 24 hours, you can't count again with a bracha. He's coming to reject this Rav Sadia Gaon. So what's pshat in Rav Sadia Gaon? I mean, again, just because you're a loser? I mean, why pick on the first day? So the Rav explained, no, because he holds up this yesod, but he holds that you got to get the count off the ground. If you don't count day one, then there's nothing. But once you get the day one, it's like a ticking clock. It keeps on ticking. So it goes automatically. That the Bahag perhaps rejected. But Rav Sadia Gaon held of the Yesod, but he held in a more, so to speak, lenient version, if you will, that only, the Hakpada is only if you miss the first day, because then there's no meaningful count. But once you start the count, then it's on an automatic ticker till Shavuos. Another possibility, also still staying in the Gaonic period, the Bir Halacha quotes Rav Haigon, who has an even more modern approach. The Bir Halacha says, the Rav Haigon says as follows. Let's say I missed today, day 19, and I don't remember tomorrow either. So it comes tomorrow night, and let's say I go to the late minyan, so I can count even in shul, and oh no, I realized. And if I go to the early minyan, and I already had a couple of Shabbos, and I forgot, that's when you have a Shaila, is what happened. Someone came over to me last week. What do you do if you haven't counted? It's still daytime, but you make Kabbalah Shabbos, right? That's a Shaila. But let's say it's the late minyan, so you're really too late. So what would, if you were in the basement of Rav Haigon would tell you the following. You count with a bracha, and you say, Baruch Hashem, Al Siras Omer, Esmol was 19, Hayom Yom Esrim. It didn't make it into contemporary practice, but you look at the Bir Halacha, he quotes this from Rav Haigon. Now, what possible meaning could there be on day 20 to mention that yesterday, which I didn't count, was day 19? Exactly. It's the way of, so they, again, I don't, maybe there's other explanations, but both Rav Zevin says this also. It's again, it's Al Pi Hanal. It's the same idea. They also hold of this Yesod. He just holds that you don't need to have a halakhically meaningful count to continue. Of course, it's better. Maybe there's no kiyum in saying today is 19. Yesterday was 19. But by saying yesterday is 19, I've allowed myself to now have the continuation and the continuity that I can now have a kiyum ha-mitzvah when I say today, speaking of what will be tomorrow, Mirz Hashem, Abba Leinu L'Tova, is day 20.
How long does that go off?
You mean, could you miss 8 days?
Yeah,
I don't know. If I'm not mistaken, you'll double check the Bir Halacha. I think he gives the example of one day. And since I don't know anyone holds this halacha, I'm not sure if anyone who's thought about, what if I miss 4 days? I don't know. Fall, that's a research project for you. Okay. We have a few more weeks till Sfira is over, so it's still no gaya.
Would the high gun say the same thing, but other Sfira in the Midaraisa?
I don't know if he'd say this about anything else. Now, why? There's lots of unique things about Sfira. I think we're going to run out of time, so we won't get to it. But if you're interested in a short but very beautiful essay that points out four different unique things about Sfiras Omer and tries to figure out why they should be at all unique, check out the Minchas Asher on the Parsha. It's a very, very beautiful Siman Nun Aleph. I'm not going to discuss anything he has in that piece, but he asks this question. He gives this example, and he gives three other examples where you see certain halachos, whether they're debated or not, but certain things which we entertain in Sfiras Omer, Lekul or Lechumra, which we would never do in comparable halachos. And he tries to figure out why that should be.
Not by the self-promotion.
Of course not. No, not at all. No one says such a thing. Another example that they quoted is from the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch, a mitzvah Shin Vav. Interestingly enough, he doesn't always do the Sefer HaChinuch. Usually the Sefer HaChinuch just tells you what the halacha is as he understands it. But here the Sefer HaChinuch quotes the Machlokes, HaGaonim. The Sefer HaChinuch quotes the Bahag. And then he quotes that most people disagree with the Bahag. And when he says, when he's quoting those who disagree with the Bahag, he says, "Vazel Lashon," and even if you forget a whole day, it doesn't matter. The next day you'll count with a bracha, im kol Yisrael, along with everybody else. Why does he need to tell us this? Who cares? Im kol Yisrael? I mean, if I miss the lulav one day, I'll shake the lulav the second day with everybody. No one says such a lashon. So the Rav explained as follows. Nachamol, that the Sefer HaChinuch was understanding this Yesod also. But he held, again, as he understood those Gaonim who rejected the Bahag, what were they holding? They held of the Yesod that you need the continuity, but they held that Klal Yisrael gives you the continuity. You're not living in an island. You're living as part of Klal Yisrael. And you may have forgotten that last night was 18, but Klal Yisrael didn't. Rav Shechter, in fact, when he quotes us, he writes in parentheses, therefore, Lu Yitzu Yer Chas V'Sholom, if there would be a day in which the entire Jewish people, nobody counted, according to that Shita, nobody could count the rest of Sira with a bracha. Because then you've lost that continuity for the whole Klal Yisrael. But as long as there's one Jew, one Yiddel, some shtetl somewhere, counting with a bracha, so then that will count, that keeps the Ritzifus for all of us. Exactly. If I was giving my drusha, this is a very, very beautiful tzibur type of idea. But that's another makor that they quote. Furthermore, another Buddha, such a beautiful Dvar Torah. The Machzor Vitri, which is quoted by the Beis Yosef, we know the Machzor Vitri contains many of the Nehagim of Rashi, by the Talmidim of Rashi. The Machzor Vitri quotes that Rashi had the following strange minig. Rashi used to daven, right, in Rashi's Beis Medrash, also had a plug minion for mincha. I didn't have a 7 o'clock minion, I didn't know. So Rashi had a plug minion, that's what it says, and he davened at plug, and then he counted, but we don't count. When we have our plug minion, we don't count. It's too early. Rashi, it says, counted, but without a bracha. And then he remembered after tzeis and counted again with a bracha. That's the quote, minog Rashi. Strange, right? Very strange. So the Rashba in a tshuva, Rashba lived after Rashi, the Rashba was aware of this minog Rashi. And the Rashba asks on Rashi, Mamanav Shach, if he holds he was yotzei with the first counting, so why is he counting again, let alone making a bracha? It should be a bracha levatala. And if he holds he was not being yotzei, so what was he doing? The Magen Avraham quotes this Rashba. What's going on with Rashi? It's crazy. So this is very difficult. I'm not sure, and even the Rav says this is a B'dach Efshar, but he says perhaps this fits into the same theme as well. Namely that Rashi also held like this Yesod, that the Iker is you need to have a continuity. And then again, it could be that in his shul they didn't have two minyanim, they only had one minyan, and the one minyan was an early minyan. And Rashi was afraid that maybe he'll forget and not count in the right time, in the later time, I should say, and therefore he counted early. So I, the Rashba's question, what was he fulfilling? And if he was fulfilling anything, what is it? So he says the following, no, he says the following like this. He says, nami, you need Laila for the kiyum mitzvahs sfiras ha'omer. But since we have for many other halachos that after plag can already count as nighttime, it's not, again, you do this at 2 in the afternoon, to be meaningless. But once you have plag, he said, by counting, you still don't have a kiyum mitzvah sfiras omer, but you have a maisa sfiras omer. And that maisa, if Rashi would have forgotten to do it at night, would have been sufficient to keep up the ritzifus. This is an important chiddush because we're going to see a few more nafkaminas that are going to be very similar to this one. But this is the breakthrough that they make on this minhag Rashi. I'm putting them together with the previous ones, but it's different in one very important point. This is a breakthrough in that opposed to the previous ones, well, not necessarily, a little bit different. They also had this idea. Even though you're counting in a way that's not yotzei the mitzvah sfiras omer, this is what the Rav's term, there's the mitzvah sfiras omer, and there's the maisa sfiras omer. And the maisa sfiras omer can begin already from plag, and lu yitzur, you would forget, it would still be sufficient not to fulfill a mitzvah. You don't get a check in the mitzvah book. But you've kept up the continuities that the next day when you remember, you can say, it's not in a vacuum, I'm counting 20 because yesterday was 19. Al derech this, the Rav entered the major field of the bar mitzvah pshetel. Every boy who has a bar mitzvah this time of year has the same drasha, the minchas chinuch, frekt, and mitzvah shin vav. Of course, the 12-year-old boy, of course, is already counting with a bracha, mitzvah chinuch. But then he hits his bar mitzvah. Now he's chayiv. At least one derabanan as opposed to two derabanans, or the raisa according to the Rambam as opposed to previously midrabanan. And until now, what was he doing? Nothing. Only chinuch. So according to the other Rishonim, who cares? So let him continue now. But according to the Bahag, who says if you miss even one day, you're out. So this guy, it's already been 25 days. All of a sudden now it's his bar mitzvah. What do you do? That's the Minchas Chinuch's famous question. So the truth is the Minchas Chinuch himself is noteh to let him continue counting with the bracha. However, The Avnei Nezer and a celebrated tshuva argues strenuously that if you're worried about the Bahag, which we apparently are in Shulchan Aruch, the bar mitzvah boy until now has done gurnished, and therefore he can no longer count. Even right next year he'll start with a bracha, but for the rest of this year he has to count without a bracha. So that was the Sulka Chava Rebbe, and within the Chassidish world he was taken on with full battle and armor and everything by the Minchas Aluzer, the Munkacher Rav. The Minchas Aluzer argued that this is crazy, and even the bar mitzvah boy should count with a bracha. If you want more sources than you ever need to know about this, to summarize this, I'll give you two Tshuvas Bar Vavadja. One in Yechav Adas, one in Yabia Omer, they're all in the Mar Makoma sheet. Give you everything you need to know. Ravad Yosef, if I'm not mistaken, he himself, I think, paskins that you should not count with a bracha afterwards, like the Avnei Nezer. Rav Yosef Engel, Lutzion Latorah discusses this. This is obviously very well-trodden ground. Oh, we're going to get a similar case, right? That's the opposite of what we're talking about now, right? We're talking where you hope, you're confident. If not his bar mitzvah year, then when? Right? It's like he's on time and put on the tefillin still, right? This year he's for sure going to finish. But he didn't start well, right? We'll get to your cases in a moment. That's exactly the foil I'm leading up to. But in this case, we have been analyzing this whole case based on the Pashut way of understanding the Bahag. Comes along the Rav and says the whole thing. That whole analysis is a mistake. That was what the Bahag meant. The Bahag meant that it's 49 separate mitzvahs. But you need to have, a certain continuity. You can't just come out of nowhere and say today's 20. Day 20 of what? Right? Joey will tell you it's actually day 100 until football season starts. Or whatever, I don't know. It's like numbers have no meaning unless they're relative to something else. If you have 19, then today is 20. And I'll tell you it's X number of days until the Yankees reach inevitably first place. I mean, every number has a relative context. Without a context, the number's meaningless. So that's what the Bahag meant. If that's the case, he says, so the bar mitzvah boy who was counting with such eslavos and excitement and anticipation of turning the Bochar bar mitzvah, so of course he has a retief. He's not counting out of nowhere now. And what he did, mitam chinuch, maybe it's not going to be a mitzvah on the same level as he'll do as a goro, but it provides the context and the continuity that allows him to count now. Another question. Two more till we end this major shir. Number one is the Bir Halacha and the Pischei Tshuva. Both make reference to a tshuva of the Nodeb Yehuda. They want to discuss, unfortunately, Rachmana Litzlan, not a bar mitzvah, not a simcha, but Rachmana Litzlan, what if someone has a patira during Sfiras Omer, and it becomes an onen. So if somebody in Rachmana Litzlan dies at night, and by 3 o'clock the next afternoon they have the funeral, so he still has a few hours to count without a bracha, but it'll count, it won't be a problem. But it can happen for any one of a number of reasons, and it's a full 24-hour period where he was an onen, so he couldn't count. So what do you do when now that he's not an onen anymore? Is he knocked out of this making a bracha? So the Bir Halacha quotes a sefer, I never heard of him, but it's the Bir Halacha quotes him, the Nahar Shalom.
Why can't he just count?
The question is, two things. Number one is we usually say it's usur for onenim to do mitzvahs. We don't let them be machmir on themselves, them not to. And the second of all, the question is, and therefore if he's mufka, is it Yotze anything, right? Say an Onin shows up. Can Onin count for be Mitzara for a minion? Because he's Mufka. So perhaps he's Mufka here too. That's the question.
Hold on one second.
Very good, very good. So the Nahar Shalom is quoted by the Bir Halacha from Pashtus. The Bir Halacha says if you miss a day, you're out. If you miss a day, he's out. He's not a bad guy. He's a nebuch. Okay, but he still can't do it. The Baruch Shem understands, but you still can't do it. It'll be a bracha levatala if he counts with a bracha afterwards. He's mevatal the mitzvah already. So the Nodeb Yehuda addresses this from, first he discusses it from the onen perspective. He says, first of all, perhaps you could be lenient on this fellow because there's a tshuva of the marshal who says that this idea of an onen not doing mitzvahs is not so absolute. He has different examples where he says there are exceptions where we would allow an onen to do a mitzvah, and therefore he says perhaps this will be one of the mitzvahs. But then the Nodeb Yehuda says, "Well, but the marshal is not really accepted l'halacha." But he says, "You know, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's Nodeb Yehuda. I think you're mechavent him. I think he says, listen, we should at least let him count without a bracha, because after all, technically, what's the whole idea of being an onen? Is he's focused on the mace?" For the 3 seconds it takes to say, Hayom Yom, Nishkeferlich. Again, it's a very interesting discussion, back and forth. Again, from two perspectives, though, either from Hilchos Onin perspective, or even if you look at it from Sfiras Omer's perspective, but a kind of very technical, superficial Bahag perspective. Comes along the Rav and says,
you said that you could be at night also. You would say at night.
I don't know if it makes a difference. Night. I don't make it. Yeah. Oh, I'm saying that's what the Nodav Yehuda is not sure about. The Nodav Yehuda is not sure about that. Comes along the Rav and says, like Dr. Leader, tell him Badafka to count, whether it would be at night, during the day, to count without a bracha. I and Oni does new mitzvahs, and Echanami says the Rav, he'll count Shalom B'Torah's mitzvah. It's almost as if he's saying Hineni Mucha Mezumin Lo L'Kayim Shom Mitzvah. But I'm counting to be B'Kayim the Maisa Sfira, so that after my Aninus, I still have a Tziruf, I still have the continuity, I have the Hemshech, and I can subsequently count with.
So also answer a Shaila had this week. If a Goy counts Sfira Slaimer and subsequently becomes a Ger in the middle of Sfira, according to what you just said, will also help.
Well, I mean, if he was studying to be a Ger, he might have known. That might be too far. Okay, that might be too far. I say this slow Lamaisa. But if it was Lamaisa for you, I hope you knew what to do. But I'm not sure I would. I would assume not. I would assume not. Rabbi Willig, in that shir, that he wrote up that I mentioned before, he has this the same chiddush. He adds another two, again, variations to give you, if you want to think of these terms. He says, what about someone who's going into serious surgery? He knows that the surgery itself or the recovery, he'll be in no condition to make any brachos or mitzvahs. Could be for days. So what should the person do? Should he be, if he knows that surgery is scheduled for the middle of the Omer, maybe he should begin from the beginning without a bracha, according to the Bahag. Furthermore, I believe when I heard the shir from him in person, he mentioned the name, but I don't remember, and when I double-checked the published version of the shir, he just mentions Rav Chashav Rav Echad. Well, no, I'm talking about a story, an actual story. He said he remembers a story. I think it may have been one of the Breuers or I can't remember. I believe in the shir he said who it was, but he didn't publish the name. He said Chashav Rav Echad, who knew he was going to die. He had this premonition that he's not going to make it to Shavuos, and from the beginning, he never counted with a bracha. Eerie, right? Eerie. If you hold, again, it's all these are Havu Hatalia. What did Shlomo Zalman say?
He says here, if a person has an operation.
Oh, speak up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's, again, so the Shaila, so why should that be, though? Does he give a Svara?
I didn't get that far.
Okay. I'll speak for a few. I'll kill some time, Joey. So, again, if you take the literalist approach to the Bahag, McKen Claren. On the one hand, you'll say, yes, maybe you have to go so far. On the other hand, if you're Madaik and the Rishonim, it seems like the Bahag only says it would be a Bracha V'Talam L'mav after the fact. I mean, put Mikana L'Haba. If you count it again after the break, but not necessarily L'Mafreya. So you could still make the argument that even if you take the superficial understanding of the Bahag, that you would still allow it. But again, it's clear that, again, there's this Maisa Shahayu with this Rav Echad, and certain posts can consider the possibility of not allowing you. Again, all of these, if you'll call them chumras, of not counting with a bracha, whatever, they're only based on a certain assumption of the Bahag, which, according to the Rav, is mistaken. According to the Rav, the whole thing would be lahadam. You would never even get off the ground because of the idea of the continuity. And certainly, again, if you had Nebuchadnezzar surgery, so then, in Echanami, maybe it would be broken then. But there would be no reason not to do it before that. Which is, again, I don't know if Shlomo Zalman holds to the Svara or not, but he's definitely at least in Psak agreeing.
It would still be a Kiyam in what you are
doing. Right. No, in Echanami. In Echanami, the thing. But you don't have to be, according to this understanding of the Bahag, you don't have to be worried that retroactively you had 24 Brachos Levatolos. As opposed to, again, some understandings of the Bahag would say that. Now let's just close this loop by getting back to the two questions we started with. So, Frekta Prima Godim, according to the Bahag, why do you make 49 Brachos if it's all one big mitzvah? It's very obvious because it's not one big mitzvah. It is, even according to the Bahag, 49 mitzvos. It's just that he holds that each day is interconnected in terms of the Ritzifus. And finally, we ask, according to the Bahag, Mamanavshach, if you can't count, if you're not Yotzei during the day, so why does counting without a bracha help me for the next day? And if it does count, why don't I make it even with a bracha during the day? And the answer is Enechanami. The Bahag holds it's only a mitzvah at night. And that's why you only make a bracha at night. What about during the daytime? And Echanami, the daytime is counting not the Torah's Kiyum Mitzvah, Sfiras Omer, but it's a Maisa Sfiras Omer in order to keep up your Ratzifus. Quickly, two more issues just to give you some more of the taste of this beautiful Sugya of Sfiras Omer. What about women? Are women Mechuyavas? So I'm not even going to get into, just so you should know, the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes from this, I think it's what the Shulchan Shlomo, I think he's called, who was very strongly against women counting Sfiras Omer with a bracha, and they don't understand, and Magen Avraham says, but in Medina Seinu, all women do count, they don't count, if women count, I don't want to get into that at all. I just want to discuss the theoretical shayla, are women chayavos or not? So the Rambam says explicitly that women are paturos. Kesef Mishnah says, of course, because the Mishnah is my grama. It starts now, it ends now, it's just like lulav, it's just like matzah, of course they're the pater. But the Ramban, in Daf Lamed Daled in Kiddushin, where he lists mitzvahs that women are chayavos in, and mitzvahs that women are not chayavos in his list of mitzvahs that women are chayavos in, she'enan zman grama, he calls them, he includes among his list, Sfiras Omer. So the whole books and books have been spilled to try to figure out what is going on with this Ramban. So, the Divrei Malkiel, the Lama Dragon, he says, well, there's no need to spill any more ink. Too much ink has already been spilled. It's all Tos Sofer. It was originally an abbreviation, Samach Pei Ayin. Some subsequent person thought it was Sfiras Omer. Really, it meant Seder Avoda, or something to that effect, i.e. Karbonos, or something to that effect. The whole thing's a Tos Sofer. And I believe that Nefesh HaRav, I didn't have a chance to look this up, I believe that the Rav felt this way also, and I once heard from my Chavrus, Meir Salvechik, the grandson of Rav Aaron, that Rav Aaron was convinced that it was a Torah Sofer also, because the Maram Chalova, who was the Ramban's Talmud in his Chedushim HaPsachim, says explicitly that it is a mitzvah sasesh of grown women or paturos. So it's definitely, again, it's not the exciting answer, but it may be the right answer. So I prefer this, let's give you a few more of the exciting answers. So the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva where he says Sfiras Omer is not an independent mitzvah. It's connected to Pesach. It's really a sniff in Pesach, right? Look in Shulchan Aruch. There's no independent Hilchos Sfiras Omer. It's part of Hilchos Pesach. And since we know, because of the drashos, the women are chayavos in all mitzvahs of Pesach, the Memela also chayavos in Sfiras Omer. Period. The Sefer Mitzvahs of Rav Sajigon, Rav Perlau, Rav Yochanan Fischer Perlau, and his Agdama to the Sefer Mitzvahs, as well as the Divrei Yecheskel, that was the Slobodka Rosh Hashiva, the Turi Evin in Megillah, they all three say the following Lamdusha approach to define Mitzvah Shema Grama, that is a mitzvah in which the Chiyuv is generated, the Mechayiv is the Kedushas Azman. What obligates us in Matzah? These 7 days. What obligates us in Sukkah? These 7 days. Why are we Potter after Pesach? Because it's not those 7 days anymore. So it says, come Sfiras HaOmer, he says, what's the Chiyuv? The Chiyuv is in the Kedushas HaZaman of these 49 days. The Mechayivim are the Karbanos. Just look in the Chumash. If you know how to read Chumash, you know that the Mechayiv, right? We think of counting these days, we have all sort of drushes about these days. None of that comes from the Chumash. You look in the Chumash, he says you count from one carbon to the next carbon. So if the Mechayiv is a carbon, then you're not going to have a patur of Mr. Seisha HaZaman Grama. And finally, the 3-day Eish has a tshuva, in which he says something, it's very deep. In fact, he ends it with a Vidok Yomoku. It's a two-liner. He says the following. He says, you only say Sfiras HaOmer when, you don't say Mitzvah Zman Grama, when Zman is the Mizgeret. In other words, there's a Hefta of the Mitzvah, and the parameters are time. But here, time is the Hefta of the Mitzvah. You're counting time. And therefore, he doesn't explain why, what's the therefore, but he just says, Memela. That's not the Patur Mitzvah Shema Grama. Mitzvah Shema Grama means when you have his Cheftza, which exists all year round, but it's only Chayiv now, it's not Chayiv then. So in such cases, they're Patur. But here, the whole mitzvah is the Zman, and therefore they're Patur.
What about other Teretz? The Sfiras HaOmer is a necessary antecedent to the Yom Tov of Shavuos, which women are Chayiv in. It's Lo Sase.
What's the Lo Sase? What are you talking about with Lo
Sase? Women are Chayiv in keeping the mitzvah Kuchas Yom Tov of Shavuos, right? And Sfiras HaOmer is a necessary antecedent.
Okay, so that's similar to the idea that I mentioned of the Karbanos. Similar idea. Okay, very quickly, just to mention to you, two more Marmakamis. The last issue being just Shomea Ka'ona. Right, with the rabbi or somebody else makes the bracha, could you be Yotze through him? So, the Gemara Menachos and Nafsayim Achayim Ebeiz, based on a Pasuk in our Parsha, Pasuk Kezvav, talks about Vesfartem Lachem. The Gemara Darshan is therefore Siro Lekol Echad Ve'echad. The question is, what does that mean? What is that coming to exclude? So the Lavush and the Chak Yaakov say it's coming to exclude Shomayak Ona. Even though in other Mitzvot Shabbat Dibur we do allow you to listen to somebody else, that's a special Riboy, L'Kal Echad V'Echad, not by anybody else, you have to do it yourself. The Pri Chodesh argues, the Pri Chodesh says, Enech Anami, you could be Yotzeh Shomayak Ona like anything else. Sfira kol echad le'echad is coming to contrast what you said. Sfiras ha'omer from Sfiras Shmita Yovel. Which there, it's only in a singular in the pasuk, and in fact the halacha is, we paskin, right? Anyone here ever count the year for the Yovel? Because that's the chiv on the Bezdin. Sanhedrin counts Sfiras Yovel. And therefore, that's Svata l'kalach v'echad, we count Sfiras Omer, not the Bezdin. But other than that, of course you could do it with Shomeik Ona. What is this perhaps machlokas dependent on? So, if you look in the Minchas Asher, I believe he has a svara to claim that this is somehow tied into the lumdus he has in Sfiras Omer. The more popular teretz is that this is a part of the larger machlokas about the nature of, not Sfiras Omer, but Shomea Ka'ona. If you say this Shomea Ka'ona means that it's a magical thing when you're talking, it's as if I'm talking halachic magic, so then Sfaratim L'Kol Echad V'Echad, you're counting and I'm counting L'Kol Echad V'Echad, we're both counting. That's the Chor of the Pre-Chodesh. Why can't I? But if you hold that all Shomek Ona means it's not magical hocus pocus because it's magically like I'm talking. It just means that I'm nigger after you. If you're Yotze, I'm allowed to be Yotze with you. But that doesn't mean that I actually counted. It means that I'm Yotze, the mitzvah of counting, but not that I counted. So perhaps that's what the drasha of Sfir L'Kol Echad V'Echad is coming to preclude. No, you can't just, you don't just have to be Yotze. You personally have to count. So those are the two different possible understandings of this famous Machlokas Achronim. I wish you have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos, Parshas Emor.